This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Dark Side of Wikipedia. After a year of doing this show and you guys loving it, we've created a way to give you even more Dark Side content. How? By you becoming a Dark Sider. That's a supporter of the Dark Side of Wikipedia. When you become a Dark Sider, you get advanced access to our episodes months before they're released to the public. So if you want more to binge away on, this is the way to get it. In addition to the advanced episodes, you also get our archive of episodes, and all of it is commercial free. So if you like the show and you want to listen without the pesky commercials, become a Dark Sider. In addition to all of that, we're also now giving final chapters to all of our new episodes. That means you get to hear an extra chapter of the story and discussion, usually an extra 15, 20, 25 minutes of content for each episode that we're calling the final chapter, which is exclusively for Dark Sider members. The reality is, this show is not free for us to create. It takes a lot of time, effort, and money to put it together. So if you'd like to be part of the Dark Side of Wikipedia, support us and keep us on the air, and in exchange, get all of those extras, please become a Dark Sider. Do it by signing up at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. It's only $5 a month, and you get access to everything I just talked about. Check it out today, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider, and help keep Dark Side of Wikipedia alive. Is life simpler in a small town? Are people more trustworthy? Are there less dark things going on behind the scenes of city government? The case of Rita Crundwell shows that the answer to these questions is a resounding no, as Rita was able to embezzle more than $53 million from the town of Dixon, Illinois. This is her story on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Rita A. Crundwell was a formerly appointed comptroller and treasurer of Dixon, Illinois, from 1983 to 2012. And the admitted operator of what is believed to be the largest municipal fraud in U.S. history. She was fired in April 2012 after the discovery that she had embezzled $53.7 million from the city of Dixon for over 22 years to support her championship American Quarter Horse breeding operation. Crundwell pled guilty to her crimes and was sentenced to 19 and a half years in prison. Crundwell's quarter horse breeding operation, RC Quarter Horses, was one of the best known in the country. Her horse has won 52 world championships, and she was named the leading owner by the American Quarter Horse Association for 8 consecutive years prior to her arrest. Born Rita Humphrey, the daughter of Ray and Caroline Humphrey, Crenwell grew up on her family's farm near Dixon, a smart and popular student. In 1970, a year before graduating from Dixon High School, she began working at the Dixon City Hall as a work-study student. She began showing American Quarter Horses in 1978. She married engineering technician Jerry L. Crenwell in 1974 while working as a secretary for Dixon's mayor, but divorced Crenwell in 1986. In 1983, Crenwell was appointed the treasurer and comptroller for Dixon, working in this capacity for almost 3 decades. Crenwell acquired a sterling reputation. In 2011, one of the city's commissioners praised her stewardship of city finances, saying she looks after every tax dollar as if it were her own. On December 8, 1990, Crenwell opened a secret bank account named the Reserve Sewer Capital Development Account, RSCDA, making it appear to be a city account. She was the only signatory. Crenwell would have money deposited into another account called the Capital Development Fund, create false state invoices, and then write checks from the fund payable to treasurer, which she would deposit into the RSCDA account. According to federal investigators, this relatively uncomplicated scheme continued for 22 years. On average, Crenwell stole nearly $2.5 million per year from the city. In 1981, she stole $181,000, while in 2008, alone, she managed to embezzle $5.8 million from a city with an annual budget of $8 to $9 million. Crenwell used the money not only to finance her quarter horse operation, but also to support a lifestyle well beyond her $80,000 city salary, purchasing several cars, a second house, and a multi-million dollar motorhome. Crenwell covered up her embezzlement by claiming that the city's frequent budget shortfalls were due to the state being late in paying its share of tax revenue. She forced city departments to make drastic service cuts in order to keep the budget within reason. As a result, employees went 2 years or more without raises, and the police department could not afford new radios. The most visible effect, however, was on street maintenance. The city was forced to lay off 3 of its 9 street repair workers and cut the rate of maintenance. In the decade prior to Crenwell's arrest, only 65 blocks of road were repaired or replaced. For most of Crenwell's tenure, residents assumed either that she inherited her wealth and or that her horse breeding business was profitable in its own right. However, by the onset of the Great Recession, some grew suspicious that Crenwell was stealing money. But the city's outside auditors, Clifton Gunderson, now Clifton Larson Allen, after merging with Lawson Allen in 2012, and local accountant Samuel Card presumed that Crenwell was honest and signed off on her annual finance statements without concern. For some small U.S. cities, similar to Dixon, lack of sufficient outside audits was a reoccurring problem, as third-party auditors could give, at best, limited attention. For most of her tenure as comptroller, Crenwell had nearly complete control over the city's accounts, while few city employees had access to the city's financial statements. So that's the start of our Rita Crenwell story here on the dark side of Wikipedia. I'm Tony Bruschi. Carol Hughes with us today. And if you like the program, be sure to become a supporter. Get access to all of our episodes, the whole archive, all commercial free, access to the show months before it's released to the public. If you're looking for more to binge away on, a whole bunch of it there, including the part 1 and part 2's final chapters all there for you. You become a Darksider. Patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. We go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Darksider. Thoughts thus far on the Rita Crenwell story?
I have so many.
Oh, yeah?
I have so many on this one. It is a story I'm familiar with, and I don't understand it, because it seems to me there has to be someone else that could have done the basic math. You know, this is all addition and subtraction. And just to take one person's word, well, we're, you know, the tax revenues haven't been distributed yet. I mean, someone else could look at deposits.
Yeah.
Because that would have been deposited into one account. So just to give one person all that control, number one, is bad. And even number two, I'm like $80,000 a year. She was making good money.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just how that could happen. And these people, I guess they're so trusting and never thought she could do anything like that. I mean, a lot of embezzlers are really nice middle-aged women. You know, if you look at the stories you're really familiar sure. with, we had a couple in this town where it's like, really?
Yeah.
She embezzled all that. But just the fact that everybody's like, oh, I don't know. I thought maybe she inherited all her money. How could you live with yourself knowing that the town you live in can't repair their streets? Mm-hmm. They're laying people off. You know, there's the whole, you're affecting the people in your city by your selfishness and your greed.
It's quite amazing where the town has a budget of $7 to $8 million and she's able to embezzle 5.8 or something on one year.
That's what I don't get. It's like, you know, like any nonprofit would have a board of directors that kind of, you know, there's a checks and balance and you have to look over all the accounts together and that person has to explain things. Any city government would have a city council and, you know, not one person should have all of the power. Like, where's the mayor? Yeah. Like, as the mayor of the city, if I was to run for mayor, I would want to see where we stand with everything.
And I don't know. I don't know how it was all structured there. I don't know if it was one of those towns where it's like, you know, you have like the comptroller that's a full-time position, but everybody else is just kind of like they all have their own jobs and they just kind of, you know, show up for the meetings and stuff. But
where's the city council or
something? Yeah, something.
Where's somebody to oversee? Like, you know, you should be looking at all that. So, I mean, I get the whole secret account, but there has to have been money coming in that then went to there. And I think that's how it got caught. I think that, well, and we'll get to that.
What I don't understand is, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. If you're going to all these different departments, so it's saying police, fire, rescue, you know, this department, that department, water, all that. Everybody's getting their own budget figures and they're all like, oh, that's really low. But unless all of them compare those budget figures and they realize this only adds up to like what's left of, you know, the 7 to 8 million after 5.8's gone. Like, so there's 2 point something to spread around.
Yeah. Like I understand.
Nobody really
that.
Know. I mean, they'd all be like, but, you know, I guess, I don't know.
But there should be more than one person who sees the big picture. So that's where like your city council or your mayor would be. Here are your revenues.
Yeah.
Here are your expenditures.
Yeah.
Here is your, you know, all there's so many sheet. Different pools of money. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're running frickin' New York City.
No. I mean, how would they
it's
not
a
know?
Small town.
When you, because that would have to be somewhere where it's like, okay, this amount's going to this. Unless she's showing the council one thing and then telling the department heads of these things another. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
But at some point, the deposit had to have been made from the state for the taxes or whatever. Like, there had to have been deposits that were made.
But she was the only one looking at them, I guess. And that's where...
Which is bad.
There's no checks and balances.
So anybody who's involved in small town government, just this is a lesson for you.
Yeah.
Not to do.
It really is. Let's continue into the Rita Crundwell story as we enter into her capture and arrest. And then after we get to the Wikipedia portion, we have an interesting article about the whole story firsthand from a Chicago publication. In the fall of 2011, while Crundwell was on an extended vacation, city clerk and acting comptroller Kathleen Swanson discovered the RSCDA account with 179 deposits and associated checking activity. Not recognizing the account as a legitimate city account, Swanson alerted Dixon Mayor James Burke, who in turn contacted the FBI. For the next 6 months, Burke and Swanson, whose payroll was controlled by Crundwell, remained silent while the FBI built their case. Crundwell arrived for work on April 17, 2012, to find FBI agents waiting for her. She was arrested later that day and was indicted by a federal grand jury for embezzling $30 million from the city during the previous 6 years. Crundwell was charged with one count of wire fraud and released on $4,500 bail the next day. On May 2, 2012, a superseding indictment charged Crundwell with embezzling $53 million over the prior 22 years. On November 14, 2012, Crundwell pled guilty before Judge Philip Reinhardt to a single count of wire fraud. As part of the deal, she also admitted to money laundering by using the embezzled money to finance her horse operation. Crundwell was required to forfeit more than $53.7 million in cash, assets, and possessions. Equivalent to this amount she stole, which is being used to make full restitution to the city, she reportedly told FBI agents that some of the money was spent on her horses and their upkeep. Prosecutors sought the forfeiture of her horse farm and 300 horses, in addition to her three homes and a luxury motor vehicle. Prosecutors later discovered that Crundwell's crimes had begun as early as 1988, when she siphoned off $25,000 from the Dixon Sister City program over 2 years. She had not pled guilty. She would have faced additional charges for bank fraud, wire fraud, and money laundering that could have sent her to prison for the rest of her life. The following month, Dixon's new fiance, or finance director rather, said that the city had seen an almost $3 million rebound since Crundwell's arrest, but that the operating budget was still off by $16.6 million. It was also reported that Dixon lost $30 million in operating funds over the prior decade. The city sued its outside auditors as well as the city's banker, Fifth Third Bank, for ignoring numerous red flags in Crundwell's actions. In September 2013, the auditors and Fifth Third agreed to pay the city $40 million in a legal settlement, while the auction of Crundwell's assets brought over $9 million. Sentencing on Friday, February 14, 2013, prosecutors sought the maximum sentence of 20 years in federal prison. Their case was bolstered by testimony from Burke and city staffers that Crundwell used dramatic analogies to force spending cuts in order to cover up her theft, which left Dixon unable to provide the most basic services. The defense asked for 13 years, saying that Crundwell had cooperated with authorities in recovering the money. Ultimately, Reinhart sentenced Crundwell to 19 years and 7 months in prison, close to what prosecutors had sought. Reinhart noted that she put her passion for raising horses ahead of the needs of the city residents who had entrusted her with their funds, and that a significant prison term was required to restore public confidence. Reinhart was so disgusted with Crundwell's behavior that he revoked her bail and remanded her to custody rather than allow her to self-report to prison. Crundwell appealed the sentence, but the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals upheld it in November of 2013. The fraud scheme of Rita Crundwell has been the subject of academic and professional publications. Many describe the mechanics of the fraud scheme and review the control deficiencies that allowed the fraud scheme to exist and to remain undetected. The authors also review the shortcomings of the external auditors that allowed the city's financial statements to be materially misstated. On September 20th, 2012, Crundwell was also indicted on six state counts of theft, alleging that she stole $11.2 million from April 2010 until the day of her arrest. Burke and Lee County State Attorneys Henry Dixon said the state charges, which carried a minimum of 6 years per count, were a backup in case Crundwell was acquitted on the federal charges. The state charges were dropped in April of 2013. Dixon's successor as state's attorney, Anna Sacco Miller, said that it did not make sense to spend taxpayer money on prosecuting Crundwell, as there were virtually no assets left for the state to seize, though Dixon had initially said he had no plans to seize assets from her. Sacco Miller also said that because Illinois sentencing guidelines require state and federal sentences to run concurrently, Crundwell would likely serve out any sentence imposed by the state level while she was still in federal prison. Crundwell is incarcerated at Federal Correctional Institution, Pekin, in Pekin, Illinois. She was originally scheduled for release on March 5, 2030. Under the First Step Act, she is receiving good conduct time of 54 days per year off her sentence. In February 2020, her release date was listed as October 20th, 2029. On April 27th, 2020, Rita Crundwell submitted a request for a compassionate release with the warden of the federal prison camp in Pekin, Illinois. On that same date, she filed a motion with the Illinois Northern District Court in Rockford, Illinois. Her motion requested home confinement under the First Step Act. The motion also sought to transfer to home confinement based on a response to the COVID-19 pandemic memo dated March 26, 2020 from Attorney General William Barr to the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Crundwell cited, amongst other things, her health issues and her good conduct while incarcerated. The motion was withdrawn by Crundwell on May 18, 2020, and the motion withdrawing the home confinement request was granted on May 21, 2020. As of May 31, 2020, her release date is still shown as October 20th, 2029. So, there you go. That's the cause and effect of embezzling that much money from your city.
And she shouldn't even have a home to go to. That should have been sold off.
It should be stricter. I don't want people to be homeless, but this woman should be homeless for. But
there were so many systems that failed.
Yeah.
And the auditors should have caught it. You know, the city government should have caught it. Mm-hmm. But, like, because wasn't it 22 years or something like that she'd been doing this?
Yeah.
The fact that she goes on vacation and the woman filling in for her caught it.
Yeah. Just happened to see the accounts because I saw it on the documentary about this.
It's a really good documentary about this.
What was that on? Do you remember?
I think it was on Prime okay. Video.
Yeah. And the woman was doing her job for the week. And they were trying to get some sort of budget thing straightened out. And she was calling the bank. And the bank said, well, which accounts do you want? And to save time, she just said, just give me them all. And then she was just going to sort through them after the fact. And then that's when she noticed these accounts that weren't accounted for anywhere else. And that's how it was all began. Because she's like, what is this? Wasn't trying to dig for anything. Just, you know, trying to save some time, asking for everything. And then, boom, got more than she expected.
And she's the most unassuming woman who is the hero of the story.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just so sad. Like, she took money for her own selfish pleasure. You know, she was obviously totally into these horses.
Yeah.
But, like, she took away from the policing and the schools and the roads and the, you know, all of this stuff. In a city.
I mean, you could probably, if you tried to, I mean, you wouldn't get a perfect estimate of it. But if you just looked back in then the history of the city over those last 20 some years, and you could look at all the things that you go, well, maybe that could have been prevented. Maybe this could have been prevented. And then how those events that could have likely been prevented by being funded affected those people's lives. What changed because of those events? And how many... I mean, indirectly, just how many lives have got screwed up or messed up or whatnot because of her thing, you know?
And I don't remember if this was in the documentary or if this was in the rabbit hole I went down after watching the documentary because you know how you tend to do that?
Yeah.
But there was another town in Illinois, kind of similar size, not too far away, and they were doing really well. Mm-hmm. And there was someone in that town is like, why are they having so many problems financially?
Yeah.
Like, so when another town's saying, what the hell, like, you're being so poorly managed or something, like, you shouldn't be having these kind of problems. And, you know, even outsiders are seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very interesting to me.
It is a bizarre case.
And effed up that somebody just couldn't, they just care more about themselves. It's just messed up.
Just the blatant manner of the way that she flaunted it and everything, too. Just with the ranching.
That's flaunting it. She bought a freaking $1 million bus to go to the horse shows on.
But it does sound like she kind of like stepped it up over the years. It's like, live it here, live it. And she kind of kept saying, I can get away with this. Maybe I can get away with that. And it almost like it cycled up 22 years worth. And that's how it got to be. You own a multi-$1 million bus and a horse ranch with 300 horses and all that. But it just originally started with just $25,000. But you,
just like $25,000 is a shit ton of money.
Well, compared to, you know, $5.8 million, you know, but it's like it starts there. And she saw, I can do this. What if I do it like that? What if I do it like this? And every year it just gets crazier and crazier until you're David
Copperfield. She's getting away. You know, after 22 years, you're never going to get caught.
And eventually it ends, you know, like the David Copperfield magic specials in the 90s. People just said bullshit at some point, and then he was off the air.
They're like, there's a trick. Yeah,
the Statue of Liberty did not disappear, David. That's bullshit. And you can't be on NBC anymore. You know, go to Las Vegas. Go do that.
I did hear a podcast about that.
About what?
About how they made that disappear. Oh, it was kind of interesting. That's a whole nother story.
That was on This American Life, wasn't it?
It was something like that. Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Fascinating. It was. I remember that. Anyway, let's continue on with this story. And we're going to an article that is from chicagomag.com. It was time. The three men standard-issue FBI suits and ties arrived at Dixon City Hall just after 9 on the morning of Tuesday, April 17th. They chatted briefly with Jim Burke, the mid-mannered, silver-haired mayor, who smiled and nodded from behind a cluttered desk in his office on the second floor. With the badges tucked into the men's wallets and guns holstered at their belts, the gathering might have looked like a few insurance salesmen debating weekend tea times. As the small talk petered out, however, a chill settled over the room. Burke looked up at the men. "Are we ready?" he asked. The lead agent, Patrick Gary, nodded. "Yeah, let's bring her in." Burke reached for the phone and punched in the number for the comptroller. "Rita, would you mind stepping out into my office for a minute?" "Sure," Rita Crundwell answered brightly. For 5 long months, ever since Dixon City Clerk Kathleen Swanson had stumbled upon a curious bank statement from an even more curious bank account, Burke had been helping the feds unravel an embezzlement scheme so vast and so brazen it seemed almost inconceivable. Tens of millions of dollars had been siphoned from the tiny rural city's operating budget. The money was being dumped into a mysterious account and allegedly spent on everything but city business. Jewelry, fancy clothes, a custom motor coach, boats, property in Florida, luxury cars, hundreds of the finest horses this side of Amarillo. And that was only what the feds had found in their cursory first look at the city's cooked books. Most stunning of all was the identity of the person suspected of masterminding the scheme. Rita Crundwell, a woman whose parents were the kind of humble, hardworking community pillars which Dixon's reputation was built. A woman who had been the town's comptroller for more than 3 decades, as trusted and efficient as a church tithe collector. It was Burke who had taken the dubious bank statement to the FBI office in Rockford back in October of 2011. Agents instructed him to hold his tongue while they investigated. As the months passed, he woke often in the night. Was this really happening? The mayor's thoughts turned to Crundwell's hobby. Everyone in town knew that Crundwell 59, who is divorced and has no children, owned and showed horses. The local paper reported on various championships she won, honors that bestowed a measure of pride on the city. But very few in Dixon had the faintest idea of the operation Crundwell was running or the magnitude of the double life she was leading. By day, she was a modest municipal worker with a high school education. By night, she was a diamond-bedazzled high roller. The Donite of the world that was a million miles in glamour and several million dollars in wealth from the cornfields and cattle farms of Illinois. Week after week, Burke would pass Crundwell in the upstairs offices, a warren of cubicles with pile carpeting and cheap wood paneling, and pretend that nothing was wrong, trading good mornings with a woman he'd been told was robbing the city blind and smiling as she did. Week after week, Swanson, the city clerk, would flag the telltale bank statement, swallowed her disgust. She watched the co-worker she had once considered a friend breezing around the building. Now the day of reckoning was at hand. "Hi," Crundwell chirped, sticking her head through the door. "Morning," Burke said. "Would you mind coming in?" Gary wasted no time. "I'm with the FBI," he said, displaying his badge. "We'd like to ask you some questions." From his desk, Burke studied Crundwell. If she has an ounce of shame, he thought, it will show on her face. When he saw her expression, the unwavering, calm smile, he was stunned. "I was looking right at her," Burke recalls, and the look on her face never changed, absolutely never changed. The mayor would have been even more aghast had he known what the world would soon. The amount of charges the feds have brought on Crundwell and what she stole. Since 2006, according to an indictment filed in May in the U.S. District Court, Crundwell flitched some $30 million, or an average of $5 million a year, more than half of Dixon's entire operating budget, over that period from 1990 to 2006. She stole another $23 million, the feds say, bringing the grand total to an unthinkable $53 million. If the allegations against Crundwell prove true, she not only is the biggest municipal embezzler in U.S. history, but ranks fifth among embezzlers of any kind, says Christopher Marquardt, CEO of Marquardt International, a Boston-based security consulting firm that specializes in employee misconduct. And though the amount that Crundwell is alleged to have stolen does not reach Madoffian proportions, it's still an outrageously, grotesquely huge amount, Marquardt says. And she was able to do that, and no one smelled it. It almost seems not possible. Crunwell awaits trial on a single count of wire fraud, for which he could face up to 20 years in federal prison and a $250,000 fine. In late September, state prosecutors added another 60 counts of felony theft, each which carries a sentence of 6 to 30 years behind bars. She's found guilty of all counts, and the judge does not allow her to serve her sentences concurrently. She could spend the rest of her life in prison. That was a very interesting kind of play, almost, of, you know, what went down in those moments right before shit hit the fan and life changed for Rita.
Well, and I have to go back to it one more time. $53 million from a small town.
Yeah.
How did no one at some point go, we shouldn't be broke? We really shouldn't be broke. Why are we broke? Why are we laying people off? Where's the money going? Like, how did that conversation not happen?
I do not know.
I mean, I'm assuming it happened at some point, but like, how would somebody not say, I want to see all the books. I want to see where this money's going. That just makes no sense to me.
Somehow it was allowed to go on. I mean, just the fact that it was discovered by accident is what's just, you know, crazy. That there was no, I mean, do you think there's more to this? Do you think there's some way, shape or form that there were others involved in this that they just overlooked or somehow didn't get charged? Or do you really think there was just this massive amount of oversight? Or
I think there was that massive amount of
oversight's the wrong word of
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. It's a massive amount of ignorance.
I guess ignorance, yeah.
Something, because the fact that no one caught on, now she might have had someone helping her spend the money or somebody she knew. I don't think there was anyone in city government, because I think they investigated that pretty thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like there should have been someone.
It sure does. But, I mean, I guess it's one of those things where they trust her. You know, she'd been there since she was a teenager. You know, what could little Rita be up to now? You know, it's like she's stealing, I mean, Twinkies. And now it's like, no, $5.3 million.
Right. And look at her. Like, her mom and dad, they were from that town. And they were hardworking.
Yeah.
Well, hardworking people don't have these quarter horse ranches or what kind of horse it was. I think it was quarter horses.
Yeah. I mean, so that doesn't even square up either, because it's not like she's like from some other city or something and she just kind of showed up and, you know. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, say you're married and I'm depositing $10,000 a month, I wish, into the bank account, and my husband's depositing $10,000 a month into the bank account, and we have $5,000 a month in bills.
Yeah.
Therefore, we should have $5,000 left every month to do with what we want to.
15.
Put it in savings, whatever.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, a bank account's basically math. You know, it's addition and subtraction.
There gets
more complicated numbers, and I know that. But, you know, if this money came in, we should still have this much money after we paid our bills.
I don't understand. And they didn't really spell it out in the documentary either. Like, how exactly did the city explain it other than, well, she was in charge of everything? You know,
how they explained it.
Yeah. Like, nobody's looking at it.
Rita, we all believed in her.
Exactly. It's like the city council just like shows up for coffee and then to bitch about things for an hour and goes home is pretty much all they did. And then
I'd be electing all new officials.
Yeah. I mean, everybody from top to bottom, you would think.
Y'all got to go.
Yeah. I mean, this was 10 years ago or almost 10 years ago where a lot of this went down. So I wonder, it'd be an interesting, where are they now?
Well, except the one woman who caught. Discovered it. She should be the mayor.
Yeah, she was good. I liked her, but some of the others there was just like, really? Like, you can think it's like an okay excuse of like,
you're gone and you're gone and you're gone.
Yeah. It's messed up. Wonder what's going on at Rita's Farm today? That's what we're going to cover in the final chapter of the program. If you want to hear that, please become a supporter of Dark Side of Wikipedia. Go to patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia and sign up. With it, you get access to our episodes months before the release to the public. So if you want to binge away on a whole bunch of stuff before it's ever released, part one and our final chapters, it's all there for you, and it's all commercial free. You also get access to our full archive, all commercial free episodes as well. So if you want to hear this final chapter, what's going on with the old ranch these days, then sign up to be a Darksider, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Carol and myself will see you in the final chapter of the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.